Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, on a day when the opposition came together against the decision to expel Rahul Gandhi from Parliament, the Congress leader has served an eviction notice from his official residence. The Congress calls it a witch hunt. The BJP says avoid the melodrama. But while the opposition may have come together in protest of Rahul Gandhi's disqualification, are they truly united? Uddhav Thackeray skips a Congress dinner, accuses Rahul Gandhi of creating fissures in their coalition for his remarks on the Hindutva ideology or the Hindutva ideology of Veer Savarkar. But first on the show, that will be a little later what you just heard, first on the show, hearing a clutch of petitions opposing the release of 11 people convicted of murders and gang rape in the Bilkis case, the Supreme Court says so many languish in jail. How come these men are released? Are there uniform standards for release? The two-judge bench also says that they will not be emotional and will strike a balance in delivering a judgment. But as we begin this as our first debate tonight, a reminder of what happened on the 3rd of March 2002. A mob stormed 19-year-old Bilkis Bano's family in Ahmedabad, killing seven members of her family. 5 months pregnant, Bilkis at the time was gang-raped, while six other members of her family managed to flee. Yesterday, the killers, who were released from jail, shared the stage with a BJP MLA in Gujarat. When they were granted remission, these men, the convicts, were greeted with laddus and garlands outside the jail. That was a few months back. Therefore, the big question is this: where is the justice in all of this? Well, joining us on this program, Shobha Gupta, Bilkis Bano's lawyer, somebody who's been pursuing justice for 23 years, Rishi Malhotra, the lawyer of one of the convicts, Swati Malik is an advocate and spokesperson of the Congress Party, and Ashwini Dubey, an advocate of the Supreme Court. Thank you all very much for being with us. Mr. Malhotra, let me come to you first. This is what the judges said today. We have before us many murder cases where convicts are languishing in jails for remission without years. Is this a case where standards have been applied uniformly as in other cases? How would you reply?
Of course, all the parameters of law were applied. And the judge also observed that all these emotional pleas will not be binding on them. They will strictly go by the legal principles which were applied. And of course, then they have called for the files from the central government. So what's wrong in that?
No, but Mr. Malhotra, you aren't really answering my question. The law has to apply equally. That's common sense. The judges were asking, is this law of remission being applied equally in our country, given the fact, and we both know this, that there are countless number of people in jail who haven't been given an opportunity for remission?
Yes, I can say with some responsibility because I've been handling many of the conflicts in the state of UP and, of course, in Delhi and Gujarat also. In UP, we got at least 2,200 convicts released because they had become overdue for remission policy. And ultimately, the Supreme Court has to step in. The Chief Justice Court has to step in. And we got released at least 2,200 prisoners.
So the law is working equally. That's the point you're making.
Of course. Right. Of course. It can be delayed a bit. It can be like in this case also, they had undergone 15 and a half actual. So it was not at the moment 14 years elapsed. They were released. It took time sometimes, and it is taking time. That's why our grievance is that they ought to have been released 14 years down the line, but they got released after 15 and a half years actual sentence.
Swati Malik, just on this one particular point before I get into the entire Bilkis case, do you accept that argument that the law of remission is being applied equally in this country?
Absolutely not, Vishnu. All of us know how, how selective this law of remission is. How all these remissions, especially in this case, I don't want to talk about, just not Bilkis, but there's a narrative that these governments are trying to, suit. So whatever suits their narrative, that's where all these remissions are being permitted. Otherwise, we know just the other day, I'm sure you also read it, where the person was released after 26 years of having been in jail for a sentence of 13 years. Leave alone everything else. That's the kind of condition that is prevailing in the jails out in our country. Right. So to say that it's uniform is a really irresponsible kind of a statement to be made on national television.
Right. So yes, sir. Go ahead quickly, very briefly before I get. Yeah.
So So to begin with the debate, I hope so and I believe so. There is no problem of these convicts getting released prematurely as per the policy. So the basis is, I hope, the common. Because now the question is that they ought to have been released as others are released, or the question would be that they should not have been released.
No, I think the question which is being raised is they should not have been released. We'll get to that in a moment. But this is a point that the judges raised, which is why I was asking you. But Shobha, let me come to you next on this. I think it's the impunity of it all, which is what we are looking at. For example, Bilkis, in this particular case, a BJP MLA, right, and another BJP leader shared the stage with these killers and convicts, people who'd served a lifetime in jail, right, just yesterday. When all of these convicts were let out of jail a few months back, they were garlanded and fed laddus. What does this indicate?
I would not be commenting, Vishnu, on the fact that with whom they are sharing the dais, that maybe the political parties would be responding to. But yes, I am...
No, the sense of impunity, Shobha, I think that's what I wanted a comment from you on. You know, it's not just... I can ask a political leader that question, but as somebody who's fought for human rights, when you see...
Fact remains, Vishnu, they have been convicted for rape, gang rape, and 14 murders. Three gang rape and 14 murders. And the conviction has been upheld. For anyone to felicitate them, to regard, to, you know, garland them, circulate sweets, it's something beyond my comprehension. You rightly said the impunity. Like, why won anyone? They were not acquitted and coming out. So, but as a lawyer for Bilkis, I would be getting into the legal side of it, not on. But yes, this is the brazenness. This is something which disturbs so badly. You are respecting, garlanding, circulating sweets for whom? Who have been convicted for gang rape and 14 murders, even by the last court?
Ashwini Dubey, when they were released, the members of the panel that took that decision, they referred to the decision, referred to these men who were released as being Sanskari Brahmins who'd already served 14 years in prison and displayed good behavior. How is it possible that all the 11 who were released, right, their behavior all simultaneously became okay?
Vishwaji, thank you very much for having me here. Vishwaji, respectfully, I'll say 3 points. One, so far as the constitutional provision is concerned, so far as the provisions of Criminal Procedure Code is concerned with respect to the remission, that is intact, section 432, 433, 433A, 434, 435. Now coming to the other aspect. Honorable Supreme Court, on 13th May 2022, while considering the petition of one of the convict, Radhesham Bhagwandas Shah, found that the state would consider their remission based on the policy which was in vogue. Now the Honorable Supreme Court, despite that, now have issued notice. We will see, we will wait what the outcome is. My all solidarity with the family of the Bilkis Bano, the trauma, the agony, whatever happened, the court found them guilty. But the question here is whether those convicts have been released by virtue of a remission policy of 1992, which was in existence, and whether the Honorable Supreme Court asked the state to consider it not. All thanks to Shobhaji, who is here, who has taken this
matter. But Ashwini, you haven't answered my question. My question is this. Even in the old policy of remission, release is not automatic. There has to be application of mind. And the release is based on the display, for example, of good behavior. Right? In this particular case, I'm asking a simple question. Did all 11 of these people simultaneously start behaving well?
That we have to see what was their conduct inside the jail.
Right,
the
that's what I'm asking you. Does it not appear strange, Ashwiniji?
So now the file will come to the Supreme Court. It will come in public domain. What was their conduct inside the jail? That which slips, it's beyond our our capacity to comment on that.
No, but Ashwini ji, it is very much within, respectfully again, it is very much within our capacity to raise questions, which is what we are doing. Obviously, will the documents come, we'll all read it, and we can agree to agree or agree to disagree, right? But there is, the law is based on common sense at one stage, right? And the law is based on questions which are raised. Is it not a valid question that how did 11 people all of a sudden behave well? So well that they got released from jail despite gang rape charges and murder charges for which they were convicted.
With due respect to you, Vishnuji, this is not only the state's decision. There is a committee. Committee consists of the Inspector General of Police, which is mandated to obtain the opinion of the district police officer, the district magistrate, the jail superintendent, and advisory board committee for early release of the convict. So those opinions must be looked into. And now, another aspect is, let's see, the Supreme Court has issued the notice. Supreme Court is talking about the parity. Supreme Court is talking about that we have to maintain the balance. Let's honorable Supreme Top Court of the country comes for a conclusion decision. But as of now, we must say that there was a policy which was in existence, rightly or wrongly. Shobha ji had challenged it. Rightly or wrongly, that remission policy was exercised, taken into consideration, they were released. Now the court will take a decision that will be a landmark decision. But the thing is, it was done within the ambit of the law and the policy which was prevalent.
But Ashwini ji, that's what is being questioned. Swati, was this done within the ambit of the law? Was there application of mind at all levels? Should the Home Ministry have allowed this to take place? Did the government not have a say in this as well?
So government is supposed to be consulted by, the central government is supposed to be consulted by the state government, first of all. And secondly, today, the government, the state of Gujarat, has made this statement in the court today that the CBI and the principal judge of the trial court who convicted these 11 had given an opinion against releasing these people. So how do you not consider that? How did the government, how did the committee did not consider the trial court judge who had convicted these 11 people, his opinion, the CBI opinion? None of this was considered. So yes, of course, while it is going to be decided on merits and it's, you know, it's a subject is before the Supreme Court, but there are few glaring facts which are very, you know, contradictory when they say that, you know, it's been done according to the, following the procedure of law, yet the CBI opinion is not considered, yet the trial court judge who convicted them is not considered. And more importantly, please, I also want to, you know, use your platform to bring it to everybody's notice here, how this whole narrative of these 11 people, all of them are being released on an application or petition to the Supreme Court of one person. So one out of 11 goes to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court directs the Gujarat government to consider that person's release. Correct? How did the other 10 get released? Did the other 10 also go to the Supreme Court? No. So when, these are the questions the state government has to answer. And of course, like you mentioned, the convict, the, not an acquitted person, but a convict sharing the dais with a BJP member of parliament and a BJP MLA. What more do we need? What more proof do we need of the narrative that is being tried to set out here? That poor lady who suffered all her life, who fought for justice all her life, is again being threatened by those people. And we are here, you know, just trying to change the narrative or trying to use the law or the loopholes of law rather, right? I mean, that's what is trying to be used out here, that it's all within the law. No, I'm sorry, it was not within the law.
Mr. Malhotra, when these convicts were released, Bilkis Bhano was not informed. She had no idea about it. I'm just, from a legal standpoint, asking you, if a person who has gone through what she has gone through, she's witnessed murder, she's been gang raped, members of her family have been killed, and the people responsible for that are released and come ending up living in the same area, should that person not be consulted or told?
No, if you are asking me legally, I will answer legally only. For the policy matters, remission matters, the victim is not at all required, nor it is a necessity. Only thing what is required is the concerned state and as well as in this case, Union of India, both has to be made party, which we made it. So to say today that the victim should have been consulted, who is victim in these matters for remission and policies, victim can't say that remission policy is not applicable or applicable. It is the Supreme Court who has to see a settled old law that the policy which is existing in the time of conviction, that has to be considered. No, I really wanted today, what I argued is, not been debated, not been told by Shobha also, that Shobha's petition of the victim itself is also not maintainable, because essentially what she challenges is the Supreme Court judgment of May 22, which according to her is wrong in law because of ABC reasons. But I really wonder, after this judgment, they file a review before the Supreme Court, and that review is also dismissed. So today, to challenge before the Supreme Court under Article 32, a writ petition, is absolutely not maintainable, and directly in the teeth of constitutional bench judgment in Rupa Ashok Urabi says that a writ in Supreme Court challenging its own earlier order is not maintainable per se.
Okay, one sec. Shobhaji, come in on that point, but also please answer my question. In your understanding of the law, should a person who's gone through what Bilkis went through, should she not legally have been informed that people who were killers of people around her, who gang raped her, right, they are being released to live in the same place? Is there no legal provision for that?
This is one of the major arguments, rather. We want Supreme Court to actually, clear the position of law, that how come that happened, that somebody who suffered, who this was the victim who had this battle taken out, how come you leave that person aside, not consult her? The judgments are very clear. The concerns of the victim has to be taken note of, to be consulted. In fact, at the earlier round, when this Radhe Shyam's petition for remission was being considered, application, she was consulted. There was a note by the superintendent of police of the area saying that we have consulted the earlier round, I'm saying. And she has raised concerns that if these persons are released, there would be life threats. The witnesses said so, and therefore there was a recommendation not to grant remission. Five of the relevant authorities have said don't grant remission. Interestingly, my point is, even in such writ petitions which are being now considered by Supreme Court, these 32 petitions, it's a sudden trend now. In the last 2-3 years, so many writ petitions are being filed under 32 for this order for consideration. And then in this case, we have seen that the order for consideration has used as a flag. If you see the recommendation by the committee, each member said, since Supreme Court has said in order dated 13th of May, and then they said rest of the issues, were not a whisper on the gravity of the offense. Not even a whisper of what they have gone through, what the kind of crime has been committed. And so the committee has done a lip service. The victim came to know only when they were guardianded.
Yes.
And how come sitting in 21st century, we would say, no, that is okay procedure. This is one of the major ground, and I flagged that today also. And we are going to make that good in arguments. As far as Rishi is saying, my petition is not maintainable, I'm sure he has not yet received my petition. So Rishi, please get my petition. See what exactly the petition is. What are the challenges? I'm not going to fight out something over here saying your petition was maintainable when you were filing a 32 petition challenging High Court order. Rupa Ashok Urra was not coming in your way. My petition, my dear, you have not even seen yet.
All right,
so let me do the service upon you first. See it, and then on channels, challenge the maintainability.
I think, Mr. Malhotra, that's a fair point. I would say perhaps you should see what she has to say before you.
Exactly.
But Mr. Malhotra, to the larger point of what she just argued now, that there are five instances, right, where or individuals / bodies which have said that remission should not be granted, including the CBI, and yet this takes place. How does that happen? Non-application of mind, or a deliberate desire to release these people?
Deliberate closure
you
of
see,
eyes.
First you understand that what happens during when you are entitled to become grant remission. In Gujarat, what I have come across through the state of Gujarat's affidavit filed in Supreme Court is that there's an advisory committee members, which are 10 in number, and which consist of the trial judge, the concerned superintendent of jail, the police authorities, 3 or 4 social workers, and They're 10 in numbers. So the majority opinion is elicited from them. And so far as the trial judge is concerned, let me make this thing clear, because I've taken note of this thing, that it is not necessary for the concerned trial judge in Maharashtra to have the opinion. He may have retired. He may not be there. The point is that it has to be the trial judge of the concerned area of the local place. But nevertheless, I am saying out of 10 advisory board members, 5 have said yes. Let's assume 5 have said no. So there is no that it's a complete departure that all the 10 members have said that he or she should not be granted remission. It may be a majority which has prevailed over the minority and they have granted remission, and which is subject matter to double scrutiny, first by the state government and then by the concurrence of the central government. So every step has been followed. The concurrence has been given by the central government, because earlier they used to make this plea that the central government has not been consulted. But when this thing has come on record through the state of Gujarat's affidavit, it is clear that even central government has given concurrence, because the case is related to CBI. So every procedure has been followed. 15 and a half years they have spent. They are out in jail. They have every right to be reformative. They have every right to be rehabilitated. And what's wrong in case there is some joyous in their face? Because ultimately they are coming out of jail after a good amount of years. So what's wrong? It's a natural human tendency to somebody to rejoice after coming out of jail after 15 and a half years. So what's big hue and cry? That
coming out of jail after 15 and a half years after the murder of how many individuals plus a gang rape?
So they are not supposed to come out?
Well, that's the question we are asking. Should they be out?
Are we living in a jungle, Raj, that they are not supposed to come out?
Sir, that is precisely the question, sir.
So are you suggesting that they should not come out for all times to come?
Sir,
or maybe 25 years, 50 years, you would be satisfied?
Well, I think there is a certain merit, sir, respectfully, in the argument that a life term in jail is a life term in jail.
Subject to remission powers.
Well, remission, if it is done fairly, and I think there are question marks which have been raised on how this remission has happened, procedurally and otherwise. That's why we are talking about this, sir.
You see, the law of land is as simple as that. Life means still natural life, but subject to remission powers to be exercised by the concerned state government. And this is what actually happened in this case.
Swati, let me put that to Swati. Is remission a matter of right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely, there are policies, there are terms and conditions. It is not an absolute right. And also, Mr. Rishi Malhotra just said that, you know, it is not mandatory for the judge's opinion to be taken. I'm sorry, 432(2) makes it very clear. And if I may please read it out, the appropriate government may require the presiding judge of the court before or by which the conviction who had or confirmed, who conviction was had or confirmed. So it is very specifically written that the CBI judge or the judge who had convicted these accused people had to be, whose opinion had to be taken. So it is, I'm saying
opinion must have been taken, but it's not the rule that it has to be all 10 saying no or all 10 saying yes.
So that is why the matter
is not
to be considered. If out of 5, if out of 10, if 5 authorities are saying no, please do not release them, then what was the pressure on the government to release them, if not the elections?
So how do you judge that 5 say yes, so therefore will adopt that yes, or 5 say no, will adopt no?
That's why the audacity of the crime has to be considered. Audacity of the crime has to be considered. Please, I'm sorry, this is not a regular crime that has been committed. It's a heinous crime. A pregnant woman was raped, her family was killed, a 3-year-old daughter was killed in front of her. And I'm sorry, I'm not bringing emotions here. That is why I'm saying that the audacity of the crime, the seriousness, the grievance of the crime has to be considered as well. There can't be a blanket rule. There can't be a blanket statement made like remission is a matter of right, of course. But there's conditions to it. We have to see the gravity of the offense.
Okay, just one final question to Ashwiniji, who's been waiting patiently. You know, Justice Gogoi, the former Chief Justice, had granted Bilkis a job, a house, 50,000 rupees, which was the highest compensation at that time for a rape case. And today we are discussing this. 50 lakhs, sorry, for a rape case. The highest compensation for a rape case at that time. And yet we are now, Ashwiniji, debating this today, what, 23 odd years after this took place. Isn't this an utter, complete travesty of justice? That here is a woman who feels what she is obviously feeling now, 23 years later. How does one lead one's life after what she's gone through?
Vishnuji, as I said in my opening statement, that my all solidarity, my all emotions are with the lady who has suffered in the family. Two things are there, Vishnuji. Allow me to complete. Respectfully, Vishnuji.
Yes.
Vishnuji, the sentence where the maximum punishment is death or life imprisonment, and the remission policy, section 433A of CRPC says that the remission policy can be considered after 14 years of the imprisonment. Now, second, the same Supreme Court, in one of the landmark judgment, state of Haryana versus Jagdish, what's it? The state has to exercise its power of remission, also keeping in view any such benefit to be construed liberally in favor of a convict, which may depend upon case to case, as you said, case to case. And for that purpose, in the court's opinion, it should relate to a policy which in the case was in favor of the respondent. Now, if that has been arbitrarily used, the remission has been arbitrarily given, the remission has been given contrary to the spirit of the offense which was committed, that Honorable Supreme Court will decide.
All now, right. Well, let's see what finally happens in this case. One way or the other, it's going to be a landmark justice. Hopefully, it is a landmark justice which protects the rights of all individuals concerned, the right decision. Thank you very much for being with us. We're going to take a short break up after that. We're going to be moving to the politics of the day. It's a day when the opposition came together against the decision to expel Rahul Gandhi from Parliament. But he's been served an eviction notice now from his residence as well. We'll be looking at that and a lot more coming up. Welcome back. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. Next on the show, on a day when the opposition came together against the decision to expel Rahul Gandhi from Parliament, the Congress leader has been served an eviction notice from his official residence. The Congress calls it a witch hunt. The BJP says this is nothing but melodrama. This, in fact, is that notification which has come in on the basis of which he has to actually leave from his house. Now, the interesting part of this notification is that it was leaked to the media before Rahul Gandhi received it himself. Joining us now, Jyotimani, Lok Sabha MP of the Congress. We're joined by Satyapal Jain, member of the BJP and additional Solicitor General of India, Sanjay Gupta of the Shiv Sena, Dr. Gaddam Ranjit Reddy of the BRS, and we'll also be joined by Sushmita Deb of the Trinamool Congress and Professor Rakesh Sinha of the BJP. But Jyotimani, let me come to you first. Do you believe it's vindictiveness that this was actually served or given to the media before it was actually served to Rahul Gandhi?
It's quite obvious, Vishnu, not only this notice, the disqualification and the things which lead to the disqualification. Everything is a witch hunt just because actually he's speaking truth to the power. He's trying to expose the corruption of Modi and Adani. So it's not something we didn't expect. We prepared to do any amount of harassment because they don't know my leader Rahul Gandhi. Nobody can never can harass him mentally. If they think actually if they can do that to him, my sympathies are with them. Whether it is Mr. Narendra Modi or Mr. Adani or Mr. Amit Shah, my sympathies are with them. We are speaking truth to the power. We'll continue to speak. This is a clear political witch hunt and very cheap also in my view.
Mr. Satyapal Jain, how would you respond to that? That, you know, I mean, there are various ways of looking at it. For example, he's a recipient of Z Plus security. A new place has to be found, house has to be found, etc., etc., etc. Why victim like this?
Three issues are involved in this issue. Number one, his conviction for defamation for 2 years. One issue. Number two, under the provisions of Section 8 of the Representation of People Act 1951, followed by Lily Thomas case, his disqualification from the membership of the house. The third fact, till date, he has not challenged the conviction or even the guilt in any court of law, meaning thereby he is accepting that so far as this moment is concerned. So far as the allotment of house is concerned or vacation of house is concerned, it is an internal matter of the parliament. Parliament has its own rules for allotment of houses also, for vacation of houses also. And if this house is vacated, it will go to some of his another colleague MP who must be waiting for such a long time for the allotment of the house. These are
but
the
then why is it that Ghulam Nabi Azad hasn't been divested of his house?
See, certain cases when you make a request, he has been given 1 month's time. If he wants the extension of the time, he has to apply to the speaker that these are the reasons, these are the factors. I may be given more time. They will consider and pass the order. It's not automatically. Has he gone to the speaker?
No, he is not. I am asking you whether this needed to have, whether the kitchen sink had to be thrown at Rahul Gandhi at this stage. It's obviously political, sir.
It is as per the rules of the Lok Sabha House.
It serves a certain political narrative of the time.
No, that is the law. That is the rules. You can't have a special law. What they want is special defamation law for Rahul Gandhi, special representation of people elect for Rahul Gandhi, special law for the stay of the Rahul Gandhi's conviction, and special law for the allotment of the house. How can you treat different people differently?
Rakesh,
it's for everybody same.
Okay. Rakesh Sinha ji, you know what Hardeep Puri said today, you know, he took a jab at Rahul Gandhi and his I am not Savarkar remark, which Rahul Gandhi had said recently, to which Hardeep Puri said, you know, the contribution of people like Savarkar ji, as I said, you are getting an ass to run a horse's race. Was language like this really required?
No, it's for Rahul Gandhi's remark that
I am not Savarkar. That shows their quality.
I am very grateful to him. Because he can't be Savarkar. Being a Savarkar is not a small thing. The sacrifice Savarkar had done for the nation and the Savarkar family had done. Rahul Gandhi, Priyanka Gandhi, Sonia Gandhi, Troika is leading the Congress, but I'm telling you, the G.D. Savarkar, his elder brother, and V.D. Savarkar, V. Savarkar, both were in the same jail in Kalapani. And his younger brother, Narayan Rao Savarkar, all were part of the revolutionary movement of the country. So I don't want to deliberate because this is not the issue. But I know that Rahul Gandhi is obsessed with Savarkar. He feels that abusing Savarkar, disgracing the freedom fighters, he would get foothold in the Indian politics. That will be counterproductive. And I think that counterproductive is very obvious. As Shiv Sena, Uddhav Thackeray is protesting. And it's not a matter of political issues. If we will start disgracing our freedom fighters, we can disagree the idea, we can disagree with the modus operandi. Some people disagree with the revolutionary movement, some people are disagree with the moderate movement, some people are disagree with the Gandhi movement. This is a natural in democracy. But disgracing, I start disgracing someone, we will not do that. We may say, we may glorify somebody, we may not glorify somebody, but at least we should not disgrace any freedom fighter. This is our collective will, collective efforts, and that's why we got the freedom. That's why I feel that Rahul Gandhi is doing something and doing harming the historiography of the country by making a very obvious and very ambiguous as well as very contemptuous as person of the Indian history.
Okay. Jyotimani, you know, Rahul Gandhi's remarks on Veer Savarkar has been getting him into all sorts of trouble. It's gotten him into sort of, you push these remarks with the BJP, but also with your ally, the Shiv Sena, the Uddhav Thackeray Shiv Sena, they have problems as well. Why does he not give up his rhetoric on Savarkar? How does it serve the Congress's interests?
Vishnu, is something Rahul Gandhi ji invented against Savarkar ji and we are propagating it? It's not like that, no. There was apology letters written to the British based on that, actually repeated letters, based on that Savarkar was released from the jail. The letter clearly shows actually we will be very loyal to the British regime and is strengthening them. So the letter is out in public domain for ages now. And that is ideology. Savarkarji's contribution to this country is actually he propagated the ideology of divisiveness, which is haunting us now. So it's not something Rahulji is invented. Actually, he speaks the truth, whatever in the public domain. The Gandhi is a freedom fighter. Nehru is a freedom fighter. Subhas Chandra Bose is a freedom fighter. Patel was a freedom fighter. Abul Kalam Azadji was a freedom fighter. Sarojini Naidu was a freedom fighter. You want to equate freedom fighters with Savarkarji? It's very unfair to other freedom fighters, no, who stood their life. Many people like Bhagat Singh, Sugadev, they're all sacrificed their lives.
No, but Jyotimani, as a senior leader of the Congress Party, do you understand the implications?
Just because somebody doesn't agree with
you. Do you understand the implications of your remarks just now on your association with the Shiv Sena Uddhav Thackeray? Do you understand what this would mean?
Vishnu, when we go for an alliance, we all aware that as a politician, as a person, as a people, we all aware that actually 100% actually we are not able to be in the same page all the time. There, when we are alliance with many other political parties, for example, my state or Jharkhand, we have a different views. But there is a common enemy who is all out to destroy this country.
Okay, let me just get a reaction from Sanjay Gupta.
Looting this country for an old man and become a running a corrupt government. We have to do work together.
Okay, we will talk about that. Sanjay Gupta ji, respond to those remarks about Veer Savarkar.
बड़ी हैरानी की बात है कि कांग्रेस के नेता आज यहाँ पर जिस तरह से उन्होंने वीर सावरकर जी के विषय में कहा, मैं इनसे पूछना चाहूंगा कि क्या श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी कांग्रेस पार्टी की अध्यक्षा नहीं थी? क्या श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी जी को आप इस देश की प्रधानमंत्री नहीं मानती? क्या इस देश के अंदर श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी को आप अपनी पार्टी में कोई अहमियत नहीं समझती? क्या श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी जी ने वीर सावरकर जी को सन ऑफ इंडिया का खिताब नहीं दिया था? क्या उनके नाम पर श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी ने डाक टिकट जारी नहीं किया था? वीर सावरकर जी ने अगर माफी मांगी थी तो आपको यह जानने की भी जरूरत है कि क्यों मांगी थी। दो बार काला पानी की सजा होने के बाद उन्होंने इस बात को सोचा था कि अगर मैं जेल में ही रहा तो मैं स्वतंत्रता संग्राम में किस तरह से हिस्सा ले पाऊंगा। ब्रिटिश हुकूमत काल के समय में ये फरमान था ब्रिटिश सरकार का कि जो ब्रिटिश हुकूमत के साथ मिलकर के चलेगा वो जेल से बाहर रहेगा और जो ब्रिटिश हुकूमत के साथ मिलकर के नहीं चलेगा वो जेल के अंदर रहेगा। मैं कहना नहीं चाहता लेकिन इस बात को समझिएगा आप कि ब्रिटिश हुकूमत के साथ पुराने कितने पॉलिटिकल लीडर थे जो मिलकर के चलते थे, जिन्होंने भगत सिंह जी की फांसी तक को रुकवाया। बहुत सी ऐसी बातें मैं कह सकता हूं।
संजय जी ये बताइए, आपका जो अलायंस है कांग्रेस पार्टी के साथ, ये पहले भी राहुल गांधी जी ने वीर सावरकर के बारे में कहा है, आई थिंक इट वाज इन अक्टूबर और नवंबर, और आप फिर से वीर सावरकर का नाम कांग्रेस पार्टी ऐसे ले रहे हैं, तो आपका अलायंस का फ्यूचर क्या है कांग्रेस के साथ?
देखिए, वीर सावरकर जी के विषय में जब भी कांग्रेस ने बोला है हमने हमेशा उसका विरोध किया है। उद्धव जी ने भी हमेशा उसका विरोध किया है और संजय राउत जी ने भी उनका हमेशा विरोध किया है। और आज भी एक डिनर पार्टी थी जिसमें कई विपक्षी पार्टियों ने आना था, उसमें भी उद्धव जी ने जाने से मना कर दिया और वो नहीं जा रहे हैं। तो अगर वीर सावरकर जी के विषय में कांग्रेस ने अपने स्टैंड को नहीं बदला तो मुझे लगता है कि उद्धव जी बड़ी जल्दी इस पर फैसला लेंगे और मुझे लगता है कि वीर सावरकर पर कांग्रेस को समझना चाहिए और सोचना चाहिए कि श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी जी की क्या पोजीशन थी इनकी पार्टी में, क्या आज ये श्रीमती इंदिरा गांधी को मानती है नहीं मानती।
ओके,
विचारधारा हो सकता है कि अलग हो कांग्रेस की हमारी।
आई विल एड, जस्ट गिव मी 10 सेकंड, आई विल एड समथिंग।
गो अहेड सर, डॉक्टर रेड्डी इज वेटिंग, डॉक्टर रेड्डी विल कम टू यू नेक्स्ट, बट डॉक्टर सिन्हा गो अहेड। या Professor Sinha,
you know, I have a grudge against the Shiv Sena because they are just protesting. When the identity of Savarkar is being questioned, integrity of Savarkar is questioned, and Shiv Sena, whose entire politics based on the ideology of V.D. Savarkar, they are protesting. They have to take a decisive step, because if you are not taking this, means you are indirectly endorsing what Congress
but this is the irony. Sanjay ji is on the other side of the Shiv Sena, which disagrees with the BJP, but his position on Veer Savarkar is identical to yours. राकेश जी,
मैं एक बात,
संजय जी एक सेकंड, वीर सावरकर स्टैंड फॉर जियो, वीर सावरकर स्टैंड फॉर जियो कल्चर नेशनलिज्म, एंड एज फॉर एपोलॉजी इज कंसर्न, आई एम गिविंग जस्ट इन 10 सेकंड वन एग्जांपल। सचिन नाथ सन्याल एंड हिज कॉमरेड्स इन द जेल, they were part of the Kakori conspiracy case. Go to his autobiography. What did he say?
Okay, we'll talk about Savarkar's history in a while. Dr. Reddy is watching on quite amused. Dr. Reddy, because, you know, the issue of Savarkar isn't central to the politics of the BRS. However, the issue of opposition unity is. But if you see two members of the opposition over here disagreeing in such terms, then what is the point of your opposition rally today?
Basically, I don't understand. Had Rahul Gandhi been suspended over his remarks on Savarkarji, then we would have discussed all these points. Now he is suspended for some other reason. The topic is, why is the opposition united is the first thing. Second thing is, my early panelists, they said, as per the rule, they are asking him to vacate the bungalow, or as per the rule, they have suspended him. But what has happened to Olikar's case in Karnataka? And what has happened to Mr. Vikram's case in Muzaffar riots? What I say, the law is applicable, law is uniformly applicable. The topic of discussion today has to be, why is that he has suspended, why is he's not given the one more chance to go to the higher court. The third thing is, why is the opposition parties are united? Our BRS party stands for one thing. We are talking for the terms of principles of democracy. When we talk so high about our democracy, about the biggest constitution in the world and all, and you all know the index is falling. The press freedom index, or let it be the democratical index. When we are stooping down, our Indian democracy has to be at the highest level. That is what we were known for all these years. Why is that we are having this so much of infighting? Why is so much of disqualification? If such members are disqualified, if people like Rahul Gandhi can be suspended for a comment, what do you think? Do you think any parliamentarian can remain in the parliament? Being a parliamentarian, I'm telling you, the way we easily keep commenting in the public, no parliamentarian can be there in the parliament, nor in the assembly also as well. If we start infighting and if we have some vendetta politics, I don't think the parliaments will have the members.
But let me put that to Satyapal Jain. Sir, in addition to being a member of the BJP, you are one of the finest lawyers in this country. You know better than anybody else the sort of language that our political leaders from all parties throw around. Do you actually believe, sir, as a lawyer, speak as a lawyer, wear your lawyer's hat, that Rahul Gandhi needed to be sentenced for 2 years?
See, I have to supply 2 points on this point. First, I have got a letter written by Mrs. Indira Gandhi in 1980 about Veer Savarkar. I hope my friends of the Congress must have read this letter appreciating Veer Savarkar. Anyhow, the legal question that you have put, let's understand the position of law. The section in IPC of the defamation was not enacted during our government or even during Congress government. It was the part of the IPC Act, Indian Penal Code, which was enacted in 1860. And it prescribed the maximum sentence of 2 years or fine or both. So not that the maximum sentence has been given. 2 years is the sentence plus fine also. He could have given two things. Number two, so far as the disqualification part is concerned, please understand, Section 8 had two parts. Earlier, if suppose a person like me who is not an MP or MLA, if he is convicted, the provision was you will be disqualified on the same day. But if an MP or MLA is convicted, he would be given 3 months' time to file appeal, and till the appeal is decided, he will not be disqualified. This was struck down by the Supreme Court in Lily Thomas case, saying that whether you are an MLA or not an MLA, MP or no MP, the moment order is passed, you are disqualified. And as per that law, Mr. Rahul Gandhi has been disqualified. Till date, he has not challenged it. Remember, in 1975, I was a student of law when Srimati Indira Gandhi's election was set aside by the judge of the Honorable Allahabad High Court.
No, but Satyapal ji, you haven't answered my question.
But ultimately,
I'm asking about the magnitude of the punishment. Does it not seem excessive?
No, not excessive. It is within the discretion of the judge who tries the case. He gave him an opportunity.
But sir, look at the language which political leaders across party lines use.
I think many of us might find
Rahul Gandhi's language, inappropriate, obnoxious, call it what you want. But what about some of the language that so many other leaders have used?
I had filed a case of defamation on behalf of Mr. Prem Kumar Dhumal, former Chief Minister of Himachal Pradesh, against Shri Motilal Behora and Captain Amrinder Singh. Shri Motilal Behora was kind enough to come and express his regret. The matter was finished. The trial court gave 3 opportunities to Rahul Gandhi to tender apology or withdraw or regret. He says, I will not do it. I don't know from where he is bringing Savarkar. Can you imagine the sacrifice of Savarkar as a member of parliament?
Okay, no, let's move away from Savarkar.
I visited Andaman jail where Savarkar was kept for 10 years. 25 MPs, we could not stay even for 10 minutes in that room where he was kept for 10 years.
Okay.
And you, one sentence, you use Savarkar just to defy the position of law. Why don't he go to Supreme Court? Why he doesn't go to High Court? Why doesn't he challenge in the trial court? Who is stopping him?
Okay.
He can go.
Tausif Ahmed Khan is a Trinamool Congress supporter, joins us at this stage. Tausif, the Trinamool's position all along with regard to the has been that they will be equidistant from the Congress and from the BJP. And yet today you've decided to fully support the Congress party on the issue of Rahul Gandhi. What made Mamata Banerjee take that leap of faith, considering that she has always been maintaining her distance from the Congress lately?
Mamata Banerjee from a very long time has been very consistent that the current BJP regime is targeting opposition leader using central agencies and whatever is available at the disposal of the BJP government at the center. And this is taking, you know, another is an extension of the same attack over the opposition leader when Rahul Gandhi has been disqualified. So it is but natural for Mamata Banerjee to join the opposition leaders in the protest against his disqualification. It does not surprise anyone. Yes, what we have seen is that Rahul Gandhi talked about three individuals. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, Nirav Modi, and another Mr. Modi, Lalit Modi. But the complainant who went before the court is none of them. When we have seen, this is a case of defamation, where generally court hands a imprisonment of a day or two, and maximum imprisonment is awarded of 2 years, so that he can be disqualified from the membership of the parliament. We have seen that the case started in 2019, and the complainant at his own instance stopped the case a year ago. And then after Mr. Rahul Gandhi started his attack on Mr. Narendra Modi, questioning his relation with Mr. Adani after the Hindenburg report came to surface, the case was restarted.
Okay.
And within a couple of months, the conviction is handed. So we cannot be blind. People cannot be blind to what is happening in the country. Mr. Narendra Modi and his government has
So does that mean that you are going to remain closer to the Congress party than you have been in the past? Going forward, looking ahead at elections, can we use the start thinking of using the word coalition?
No, there has been, Ms. Mamata Banerjee has maintained that even in the past, she was part of the coalition. And in the recent past, she did accuse Congress party of, you know, playing foul in the state. So you see, when it comes to state politics, if there are certain actions which is not permissible, she will raise her voice.
Okay.
But if it comes to central politics, as we have seen, all opposition leaders are being targeted. And Rahul Gandhi has not been spared.
Okay,
Akhilesh Yadav has not been spared.
Okay. Tausif, one second. Let me go back to Dr. Reddy. Sir, do you believe that this the issue of Rahul Gandhi is emotive enough, strong enough, factually strong enough for opposition political parties to actually come together and have that, unanimity in their views, in their policies, whatever it is that they've lacked so far?
I don't think so. We need some more time because, as the earlier panelists have said, we have so many differences in our local politics, in our states. So when it comes to national interest, everyone has their own interest. Our fight is what we keep telling people, that after 75 years also, there is no one political party which is able to stabilize the country. So on those basis, and we having proved in Telangana, we say that it would be Telangana model. If everyone agrees to that, then we are fine with anyone. But if someone would not agree with that, we cannot really gel with them.
Okay. Rakesh ji, are you at all worried about the opposition showing signs of coming together more than they have done?
You know, this is what in Hindi called Bhanumati ka Kunwa. They have the same political breed, same political consanguinity. And the two things have been raised. One, that opposition is being targeted by the agencies like CBI and ED. Tell me one case in which these agencies have acted beyond their jurisdiction and they have not found anything illegal and ethical in their searches. What is more important, politics does not give you privilege to
be Rakeshji, how many cases against the BJP has the ED or CBI or IB launched compared to the number of cases in the last few years against opposition leaders? I think
also
that's the question.
No, you know, this is not the balance. Mr. Storm, this is not the balancing act. If I am a criminal and my five people are criminal, then I should also target someone who is not a criminal. If anything wrong, there is a judiciary, you can go and complain. If Rakesh has enormous money and BJP is not doing anything, you can go to the court. You can complain. You can go to the press. This is a free society. Well, second thing is very important, that in Indian democracy, liberal democracy, one family, has made so much impact in the psychology of these a certain class of people in political parties that this is a special class. They are the special people. I'm giving one example. MP from Lakshadweep is a good friend of mine. Mohammed Faisal, he was disqualified. Again, he appealed to the High Court and it was stayed. Now the question of that, when Mohammed Faisal was disqualified, when the lower court had given the judgment against him, no hue and cry. So how Rahul Gandhi is different from that? Second important thing, that the way the Congress party is attacking the judiciary indirectly, that it is due to the allegation it made. Then, Vishnu, I will do something wrong in Chhattisgarh. When there will be a case, then I will start making allegation against the government, then the court will be afraid,
okay,
giving judgment.
Okay.
This is the old practice of the Congress. When Jagmohan Lal, one sentence, Jagmohan Lal had given judgment on 12 June 1975 against Indira Gandhi for misusing the state machinery in the election. The same method was adopted by the Congress. So Congress has not changed.
Okay.
It has deteriorated. It does not have faith in the liberal democracy.
I am terribly over on this program. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us.
I will just say one thing on the opposition.
No, sir. I'm out of time, sir. Sir, I think of me as the judge in the Supreme Court, sir. I have decided, sir, that we are out of time. I do apologize. But thank you so much, all of you, for being with us. We will be tracking this very closely. Today was day 2 of the opposition protests. Will it go on longer? We'll find out.